And good morning. Excuse me. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's very good to be with you. All right, let's get after it. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question or make a comment. I'll be tickled to do so. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, I've got a lot of information to cover. I'll do the very best that I can to cover as much good, useful information as possible. This morning was very unusual when I drove into Jacksonville for a part of the distance. I'm heading south, and when I got up to the top of the hill just beyond Lake Palestine, turning off 344 onto Farm to Market Road A55, it looked like there was a bright flash. I said, "Well, this is weird. Can that be, you know, lightning in the south?" And it was. And then what was even more interesting was a small sliver of like a bright orange fingernail sketch of the moon. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, this is Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you, sir?
Well, I've had a problem for about a year.
Can you turn your radio off?
Oh, yeah. A year or so ago, everybody was having this chest problem with coughing, and I got down to where my lungs was crackling and popping, and I was so sick I couldn't even think about going to the doctor. And I had a girlfriend who had the same thing, and she went to the doctor, bless her heart, and they gave her some medicine, but she was allergic to it. She gave it to me, and I got feeling better. And the next week or so, I had an appointment anyway with my doctor for a quarterly checkup.
Mm-hmm.
And before I knew what happened, they turned me around and gave me a pneumonia shot. Now, when I was a kid, I had double pneumonia and liked to die from it. But anyway, I got worse and worse, and just been over a year or so. And I've gotten better, but I still have this white phlegm I'm coughing up. I mean, all the time.
Well, if it's white, you've got to have some type of infectious bug in there.
Well, that's what I keep thinking, you know.
You ever heard the term biofilm before?
No, I'm not really have. No.
Okay, it's spelled B-I-O-F-I-L-M, like biofilm. You've got to have, it's got to be all these antibiotic-resistant infections that we have today that we didn't have, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, they create this slimy, gunky matrix that they live in. So when we take antibiotics, they just crawl into this slimy little cave and they can live and hide out. There's one substance, though, that in nature has been shown to help dissolve those biofilms. You ever heard of garlic?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Do you ever take garlic?
No, but I eat a lot of onions, but I don't know. I just don't know how to cook garlic or you know, I'm single, divorced, and I just don't get into all that cooking, you know.
Well, would you be interested in maybe getting a capsule? And sometimes what they'll label it as, they'll call it high Allicin garlic. So look for the word Allicin.
Okay.
But that's been shown to help dissolve that gunky, gooey plaque that the bacteria in your lungs live in.
Man, I'd be so glad to get rid of that. You know, I blow my nose, and at night I think it goes down in my throat.
Oh, no doubt. It probably just drains right into your lungs and start the process all over again.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is.
Well, do you mind if I give you a couple, three ideas?
No, you go right ahead. I love listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. Why don't you try this for just a few days and see if you're any better whatsoever? There is a common spice that you can buy at any store. It's called thyme, or thyme, T-H-Y-M-E.
Okay.
If you just took like a spoonful of that and put it inside of a tea kettle and bring it up to a low boil where steam is kind of coming out of the throat of the tea kettle.
Yeah.
You just want to stand in front of that steam, maybe, you know, 18 inches away or 20 inches so you don't like burn your skin because steam's royally hot.
Yeah.
But if you'll just put a towel over your head or maybe even a dish towel, something big enough to kind of capture the steam, just breathe in those steam vapors for about 10 minutes a day. Steam will help dissolve that gunk in your lungs where it can come out. But your job is when it starts to come up, you've got to resist the temptation to swallow it. So even if you're, you know, in church tomorrow morning and this stuff comes up, you uh-huh. do not want to swallow it. So spit the stuff out to kind of help break the cycle of reseeding infection right. over and over again. So I would do that.
Okay. Okay.
The next thing that I would consider, there's an herb called Chinese skullcap.
Okay.
I kind of wonder in my mind what it looks like and how they gave it that name, but evidently it's the leaf probably looks like something you'd wrap around your skull. But anyway, it's called Chinese skullcap.
Uh-huh.
So if you would start taking that, let's see if your lungs don't just sort of magically heal themselves, and this is the best that your breathing has been.
Well, this Chinese skullcap, is that a pill?
Yeah, you can get that as a pill, and you can get garlic as a pill or a capsule.
Okay.
But literally, I don't want to like overstate the effectiveness of garlic, but I'm telling
yeah.
you, with chronic infections, I'd be a fool not to recommend it to you. But
well, I'd do anything to get rid of this stuff. I mean, I've had it so much, I've just wake up coughing, go to bed coughing, and it's just been terrible.
Do you know what the number one predictor is of a chronic infection that just hangs on and just, I mean, it doesn't kill you, but it just keeps you miserable and keeps your immune system bogged down and burdened?
Well,
it's going to be the amount of sugar that you consume.
It keeps me feeling weak, you know.
Yeah, well, it's just straining all your resources. I mean, you've got this thorn in the flesh, or you've got this huge burden on your immune system. It's just wearing you down.
That's what it's doing. I'm just wore down.
So if you will start taking capsules of garlic every day, usually two or three is all I ever have to recommend. I don't have to recommend 10 a day.
Uh-huh.
Two capsules of high allicin garlic should do the trick for you. Number next, if you'll do steam breathing treatments with a little bit of thyme or thyme in a tea kettle,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that could make a world of difference right there. If you take Chinese skull cap, that will help strengthen your lungs. Now, if I go on to the other part of the equation,
mm-hmm.
the other things that I really have to consider is maybe you're getting some of this drainage from your sinuses or tonsils or the back of your throat or somewhere, and it's just leaking down to your lungs at night. I mean, that's pretty legitimate.
Oh, let me tell you a story. I had a big tooth in my upper jaw, and it got bad. I had a root canal in it. And 6 months later, it got where it hurt so bad. I came to Taller. I was in Texarkana at the time. And I told my dentist, just take it out. I don't want to hear more about it. Take it out. So, bless his heart, he took it out. But did you know it had three roots? And when he pulled it, two of them came out, and one of them stayed up in my jaw.
Oh, boy, that's a problem.
And he took an x-ray of it more closely. He says, you know what? This root has been perforating your sinus cavity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, ever since I was a kid, on my right side, I always had a infection, you might say. I mean, I couldn't breathe out of it, you know.
But it was all because of that perforated root into your sinus cavity, right?
Yeah, and he called an older dentist. He says, "Now, what do you think I should do?" Because he was a young guy.
Was it my father-in-law? No, go ahead.
Oh, well. His last name starts with a G.
No, it wasn't.
But he's a nice dentist. But he said, no, just leave it in there, and he'll have a bad sinus infection, and give him some medicine for it, and it'll sear over, you might say, or something like that. And sure enough, I did have a bad sinus infection, and they gave me some medicine, and everything got well. And it's been so nice being able to breathe out of both sides of your nostrils.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, you know.
So, do you still have that little bitty fragment of the root still there?
Yeah, it's still in there.
I can tell you, I just almost completely disagree with that. And I'm not trying to be negative, but I would think that needs to come out because those little bitty roots are usually chronic sources of infection. For all I know, that infection is kind of spewing over into your lungs every night when you go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Ben, in old East Texas, well, we don't know anything about stuff like that. You know, we just take the word of the doctor, you know,
I'm not trying to be critical, but yeah, under certain circumstances, your body can kind of sear over it, but it'll form a cyst to kind of wall it off or contain it. But, I bet you 9 times out of 10, it just doesn't work out, though, until that little bitty fragment of that broken third root of the tooth comes out.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, I would imagine any dentist today would say, If it was them, they'd want to... Actually, let me turn it around. What if this was the dentist's wife and she had a small fragment of dead root left in that upper jawbone perforating the sinuses? Well, he would remove it. He would take it out.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, then you still have what's called a focus. A focus means you have a chronic low-grade infection. In the roots of teeth, you literally have thousands of miles of tubules and canals. They're all microscopic, but it gives these little caves for bacteria to crawl in, hide, and live. And it's tough to get rid of those sometimes. But there's been many people over the last 30 years that I've seen that if they had that little fragment of tooth removed, mm-hmm. that's when the healing begins and the burden was lifted.
Uh-huh.
So let me give you two or three ideas.
All right.
And I'm not saying this is perfect, but all you can do is put it to the test and see what happens. What I would probably do if it were me,
yeah.
there's a product that's sold at the health food stores called NasoPure.
How do you spell that?
N-A-S-O.
Okay.
Yes, and then P U R E.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's just a very simple, easy, doable product. But to that, I might even add a little bit of maybe just one drop of lemongrass oil, sometimes one drop of eucalyptus oil. And those are considered essential oils. And, you know, I've kind of experimented over the last 30 years, forwards and backwards, with essential oils. And mm-hmm. I see them as very good aids, and one of my favorite ways to use these as an antibacterial or antibiotic effect. Now, I realize what I'm going to say is not going to be very, very popular, but I've experimented with a drop of lemongrass oil that costs $5, and I've experimented with multi-level companies where they cost, you know, $52 for the same size bottle, or uh-huh. maybe a smaller bottle. And I bet you I haven't seen 10 to 20% worth of difference. Yeah, the ones that cost $55, they may work a smidgen better, but I always ask myself, I ask the person, well, is it worth it to you for a 10% improvement? And most people say, you know, if I can get it for $5 and it's 90% as effective as the other one, why not go with that? And I'm going, okay, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'll use that NasoPure with maybe one drop of lemongrass oil, which, have you ever smelled lemongrass oil?
No, I never have.
Well, it kind of smells like lemons, if you ask me, which I always think it's kind of a very, very pleasant aroma.
Yeah, I always thought just being around a lemon was nice, you know?
Oh, yeah. A lady told me this this week that she took a cotton ball and put a drop of, I can't remember, the essential oil, and she just insisted that she put it in her husband's ear so he could get well. Well, he woke up in the morning with his ear so inflamed and swollen that it was just really, really bad. It didn't go well. So... But the lemongrass oil might be a very effective remedy at helping to discharge some of those toxic microbes or bacteria.
Yeah.
If we went back 100 years in the past, you know what the number one cause of death was? It was infection.
Oh, imagine.
And usually when people get to be in their 80s or their 90s, if they have an upper respiratory tract infection, what does it lead to? It almost always leads to pneumonia.
Yeah, old folks' death. You know?
Yeah, well, and that's and exactly, just like you said, sometimes they used to call pneumonia an old person's best friend because, you know,
yeah.
when they're old and they're suffering and they're weak,
mm-hmm.
that'll almost always, you know, take them out of their pain and suffering.
It sure will.
Pretty quick. But those are things that I would look at. The other thing that I would look at with the lungs or sinus infections is if you would just consider eating meat and vegetables and a little bit of fruit and kind of cut out grains and sugar and probably dairy products. I've seen a lot of people, the one way that we can get that slimy gunk to go away is just lay off dairy for about a month.
Okay. I like eating oatmeal in the mornings. Is that all right?
You know what you could do with oatmeal?
What's that?
You could add coconut oil to it.
Coconut oil.
You've never heard that blueberries are bad for health, have you? I haven't.
No.
Could you imagine if you put some blueberries in there? Phenomenal.
Oh, imagine.
Yeah, give it a shot and see what happens. But get that if you'll get that product called NasoPure or that device and product called NasoPure, all
uh-huh.
you can do is put it to the test and see if your breathing starts to become better.
Now,
there are a lot of techniques for clearing the lungs, so if you're ever a real curious, inquisitive type person, you might look into breathing exercises because deep breathing exercises are one of the best things to help clear the lungs of infection.
I heard y'all talking about that, I thought, a week or so ago, and I started taking some deep breaths, and then I inhaled quick, and a lot of that stuff would just come up. And
well, thought, there you go. You cleaned it out with your conveyor belts. Way to go.
Yeah, and I would take about 10 breaths of it, and it seemed like it would kind of clear up so I could, you know, at least sleep at night. You know, I think about doing that at night, you know, taking some deep breaths, and I thought, I'm going to take those deep breaths. When I do, boy, that stuff would come up, and I said, my gosh, look at here, that real deep, deep breathing, and then and breathing out fast.
The the other thing,
it just blows it out, you know?
The mineral that I really am, I wish I could tell you that I'm a quick study on learning. Sometimes it takes me a while. But iodine, man, iodine has proven to be so beneficial for people with chronic lung problems, because the iodine kind of gets into those fluidy, you know, corners of the lungs where it's hard to come out, but iodine kills infections.
Well, so, now, is this pill form or is this liquid?
Yeah. Well, no, if it were me, I'd use pill form. Just get a natural source of iodine. If you find a liquid source, you're not talking about the kind that you'd put on a cut, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that may be kind of toxic to take internally, but if you take the natural form internally, like, they have different forms like natural iodine. Have you ever heard of kelp before? Kelp has iodine.
Yeah.
But you might need a little bit of extra iodine. So give those things a shot and tell me if you don't start to shake this cough and lung problem.
Well, man, I tell you what, I'm feeling better just talking about it.
Well, there's a start right there.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not
well,
kidding.
At least you have a plan now. Work your plan and see if it really improves you, all right?
Yeah. I would like to also say this. When I was in my sickest mode and my lungs was crackling and bronchitis or whatever, I did like mother and grandmother used to always do, get that Vicks vapor rub and stick it on your chest.
There you go.
And I think it's what saved my life, you know, just getting me to breathe at night so I could sleep. You know, when you lose your sleep at night, it's bad.
Oh, that's just pure misery, isn't it?
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, what does Vicks Vapor Rub cost? Like maybe $5 for a jar of it?
Well, I think it's about like $7 now, but I don't care if it's $10. I'm going to always have me some.
Good deal. Well, thanks for your phone call. Sure do appreciate you.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, let me see if I can find this real quick here. I don't think I've ever shared this information with you before, but I tell you what, it's good to consider this. I don't know if you'll ever need it, but, you know, just in case it might come in handy, here we go. Well, we have a phone call. That's much more important. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How can I help?
Well, I had a sonogram on my thyroid, and I have... The report said that my thyroid is very small, and I have 3 nodules. And
now, what do you mean small? Do they mean a lot smaller than what they would expect to find?
Yes. Well, they just said that my thyroid was very small.
Did they use the word atrophy in there?
They didn't use that word, and this is just an initial report. I haven't even gone back to the doctor. The nurse called me and told me this, you know, just read the report to me. So, but anyways, so I have these 3 nodules. I think they're on the right lobe, and I do kind of feel, when I swallow, I feel like I have something stuck in my throat.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm wondering what I can do to shrink the size of these nodules and then how I can support the thyroid gland.
This woman that came to see me yesterday, I'm not going to use her name because that wouldn't be appropriate, but if she's listening, when she came to see me a couple of months ago, her thyroid, you could just look at the lower part of her neck, and it was just huge. I'm not saying that to make a person feel bad, just in case she's listening. But when she walked in yesterday, I said, oh, my word, look at you. She said, I know, isn't it incredible? But her thyroid, I bet it has shrunk by at least 70%. And all I'm referring to is just massive visible swelling over the thyroid. You know what it looked like? It looked like she had a fairly significant goiter. Now, I'm not trying to make her situation your situation. That's not what I'm doing. But I can tell you exactly what I did.
Okay.
And you're welcome to question anything I say. It's fine by me. When it comes to the thyroid, and I'm just going to cut to the chase, wheat has got to be the number one substance that I completely find or discover over and over and over again. If I want to cause nodules to form on the thyroid, wheat has the potential to do that. I'm not trying to say I know for a fact that's your deal.
Okay.
But I always find that wheat has this very interesting ability to cause autoimmune reactions within the thyroid. If you want me to really flesh it out, I will, but otherwise, just take my word for it. Look up all the studies for yourself.
All right.
But you're going to find that wheat really interferes with the thyroid healing itself. That's all I need to say, probably.
Okay.
Number two, there is a product that I use called Thiotrophin PMG. It comes from the extract of a cow. It's actually it's calf thyroid. The pill is just almost bleach white, because they removed all the impurities and they removed any hormones, so it contains no hormones, but it's a protomorphogen glandular. So when you take that, preferably on an empty stomach, it's just basically a substance that tells your body to heal your thyroid and repair it. It's kind of a repair molecule.
Okay.
There's other ways I can say it, but that is a product that I use over and over and over and over again when I'm trying to improve the thyroid.
Okay, and if I just went and tried to find calf thyroid without
let me spell it for you, because this is the only product I know of. It's called Thiotrophin. Let me write it down. Okay, I wrote it down. Sorry it took me so long. You got a pencil handy?
I do.
Okay, it's T-H-Y. T-R-O.
Okay.
P as in Paul. H-I-N, and then three letters after it, just capital P-M-G.
Okay.
Paul, Mary, Gary.
Okay, got it.
Actually, that probably rhymed. but if you will, Thiotrophin P-M-G, usually I use about 6 tablets a day when I'm trying to get some results.
Okay.
Can I give you 2 or 3 other ideas, pretty please?
Yeah, as many as you have.
Oh, really? Oh, man, you're giving me permission, are you?
Yes, I am.
All right, there is a substance in nature called fluoride. I think it's probably the most toxic stuff to the thyroid of all time. It's a member of the halogen family. It acts as a just major hormone disruptor, and so one of the ways that you get that is if you use plastic cookware. So if you have a stainless steel skillet or a cast iron griddle, but you're using a plastic spatula, that contains fluoride, because that's what they use to keep it from catching on fire. So if you were a fireman, or you are a fireman, aren't you?
Firewoman? Not today.
Not today. But they use fluoride as a flame retardant chemical. So nonstick cookware, oh my goodness, there is no way to cook food in that without getting fluoride into your body. Just don't do it. So if you stick with cast iron cookware, stainless steel, I still don't know about the ceramic cookware. I just haven't gotten all the information. I've been looking into it. So I don't know what I can tell you about that. My gut instinct says, no, don't do it, because they're using glues and chemicals to, you know, anodize it and coat it. But anyway, enough of that. But if you stick with glassware like Pyrex or Corningware to bake stuff in the oven, you can't go wrong. But anything that would be have a nonstick surface, whether it's a griddle or a pot or a pan, I just wouldn't use the stuff, because you're going to get fluoride.
All right.
And that's just going to poison your thyroid. And one of the reasons why a nodule would form on the thyroid is because it's trying to wall off or encase a toxin.
All right.
Now, I read this 20 years ago. I don't know why I remember, but it said that 55% of all people over the age of 70 have nodules. Obviously, I can tell by listening to your voice, you're not 70.
Not yet.
Yeah, but you're more like about maybe 25 or 26. Is that correct?
Not quite.
But so you want to stay away from any plastic cookware, any nonstick cookware. That's one of the reasons why I just hate microwave popcorn, because they put a coating of fluoride on the inside of the bag to keep the bag from catching on fire. I mean, yes, if it was the end of the world and all I had was microwave popcorn and popcorn in a microwave, I might do that. But anyway, but otherwise, I'm choosing not to do that, right?
That's right. And what about toothpaste when you say fluoride?
Oh, I just wouldn't use any fluoride at all.
Okay. All right.
And there's plenty of stuff that you can use. It's very good, high-quality, natural toothpaste. And they usually contain things like a little bit of clove or myrrh, and those would be essential oils that are very, very beneficial.
Okay.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Yes.
Sunday, I was leaving, Rosewood Estates, and I got a text from, actually, I shouldn't use her first name because she might be listening, so I'm going to change her name, okay? I'm going to call her Hootie You'll never guess who it is. We'll call her Hootie Jam.
Okay.
It's not that I reverse the letters or anything. But she says, I've got a hole in a crown, and it's just killing me. What can I do? And I said, just use clove oil.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't know this, but my father-in-law is a dentist, and he's probably an old-school dentist. But he still uses clove oil all the time.
Right.
And I told her, I said, Hootie, that's not really her name. I said, why don't you just try one drop of clove oil on a toothbrush? And I said, yes, it's probably going to burn and sting like hellfire. But she sent me a text back, and she says, oh, my word. She said, we are never going to be without clove oil. It's just that beneficial when it comes to infections.
I think
I told her also to get activated charcoal and put it on a toothbrush. And I said, what difference does it make if you smile at your husband and your teeth are jet black? I mean, what could go wrong with that? But with your thyroid, there's something that is poisoning it. That's why nodules form. And I'm not trying to make a big deal about this, but quite often, I almost always find that has to do with, wheat. So
okay. Take
it with a grain of salt. Tell me what you think. But Thiotrophin PMG,
right.
If it's an autoimmune reaction, sometimes I use the herb called hemidecimus to kind of help turn that off. But there's a lot of other things that you can do. But as a general rule, if I can just give the thyroid a break or a rest from so much sugar, I'll do it.
Okay.
You don't
so
even
no
eat,
sugar.
You don't even
no
eat
wheat.
Sugar, do you?
Not a whole lot, but
see, I could tell by the strength of your voice you don't.
But I really don't. You know, that's not something I typically eat. So, but I do like wheat. I will have to say I do like wheat toast and things like that. So.
Well, I don't know who doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
Let me give you a different thing. If you go to the store today, just buy a 2% iodine tincture.
Okay.
Now, iodine has no color to it whatsoever. It's named after the Greek goddess Iodes because she was clothed or dressed in purple, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you burn iodine in your backyard in a flame, it gives off purple smoke. I mean, I'm sure you've done that over and over again, right?
I want to.
Okay, me.
I want to now.
You're like a mad scientist.
I am.
Yeah, I would be doing the same thing in my backyard. I said, hey, kids, watch this.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
I
want
to build a fire now.
What could go wrong? But right. So they have to give iodine a color, and usually when you know how the type of iodine I'm referring to is just a 2% tincture, but it has kind of this yellow, brown, orange, dye.
Yes, I do.
It. And so if you rub it on your skin, just the back of your hand, forearm, don't let it touch your white blouse because you'll never get that iodine color on the blouse. But just rub it on there, let it air dry for about 30 seconds, and you're going to be good to go. And what we're going to do is we're going to find out how thirsty your body is for iodine. If that colored, kind of the yellow patch is still there 24 hours later, you're good. You probably don't need iodine. Your body's, pretty happy the way it is.
Right.
I did this yesterday with a woman at 3 o'clock, and within 20 minutes, the color was about half as strong as it was, or it was like already being I said, oh my goodness, is your body thirsty for iodine or what? But she was totally okay with this idea. But if it disappears before the 24-hour mark, then your body's thirsty for iodine.
Okay.
But it is common to have nodules form on the thyroid when you're low. Actually, let me say it differently. Can I just say, if you have less iodine in your body than what you really need for optimal function, that's maybe the way I want to look at this.
Okay.
Because a strict iodine deficiency, well, you may not fit the medical definition, but I don't think that way. I think in terms of what is going to be the most optimal course of action that's going to help improve the person. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So play with that and let me know what your results are.
Okay.
All right.
I can do that.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day, ma'am. Appreciate you listening.
Too.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're sure welcome. All right, there's a phone line once again open. If you're interested in calling and asking a question, the number is 903-586-5257. Let me give the number one more time, 586-5257, area code 903. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. A couple questions for you. Are you familiar with Dr. Berg? He's online with a lot of material. I was just curious.
Is it B-E-R-G or B-U-R-G?
B-E-R-G.
Okay. Nope. No, don't know him or her.
Okay. No problem. Question. If you follow the protocol that you mentioned there, like eating fruits and vegetables, higher amount of the coconut oils and olive oil and such, and the regular 3/6 ounce of meat, I mean, and you do lose weight by only in your legs and lower extremities, and your trunk continues the same.
Yeah, that's usually a cortisol problem.
Okay. So what do you do about that?
All right. I am not trying to dig you for information or to be overly personal, but would you say that you have had a fair amount of stress in your life?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not asking you to relive that because, I mean, every human being I know is stressed, and some of us are stressed differently. I can tell you personally, I had a situation this week that I probably overthought it or put a little bit too much energy into something that probably never happened. I mean, maybe it did happen, but I was just kind of concerned about something. But anyway, I found myself sleeping very poorly one night, and I know what it was. It was just because I was stressing about something that had happened. You ever done that before?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so I'm not the only one. Okay, if you make a concerted effort to modify your diet in such a way to improve weight loss or to improve your health, and you lose weight everywhere except for your torso or your lower abdomen, then usually there's two or three things that I think of, and let me just kind of cover them piece by piece. Do you know what the term insulin resistance means?
Yes, sir.
So if you and I were to walk in the mall today in Tyler, I think it would be very easy for me to point out every person that's just about to develop diabetes, or if they haven't been diagnosed with diabetes, they sure will. And so usually, and I hope this is not offensive, I don't mean it to be, I really don't, but if we see women that have skinny girl legs and skinny arms, but their chest and their torso is just huge, they kind of have like an apple shape to them.
Yes.
How can I say this without being offensive? That's just a complete hormonal nightmare. I mean, their body is so hormonally out of whack, it's just not even funny. They're just on the edge of developing diabetes if they don't have it already. And so we have to change that. And so let me just give you two or three ideas. If what you're doing has led to a change in your legs and your arms, are you exercising also?
Awesome.
Okay, I would say consistent exercise. It almost always takes somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour consistently every day to what I'm going to say is going to reset your insulin receptor sites on every cell in your body. And what that means is you're retraining your body to burn energy more efficiently. And so if you have this apple-like torso, instead of being pear-shaped, have you seen a woman that's pear-shaped where she's skinny in the upper body but her hips are huge?
Yes.
I think there was a television show that I saw probably 40 years ago where it showed one of those half doors, you know, where the upper half opens or closes, and a woman walks up to it, and she's just the most beautiful woman of all time from the waist up. But when the lower door, oh, it was probably on the Bob Newhart show. Sorry, probably shouldn't mention that, should I? But her hips were huge. That's a whole different ball of wax. But if it's the trunk and the torso and the abdomen where the weight is accumulating, then I would say there's a combination of things. I would say we have a significant amount of insulin resistance, or if you want to call it pre-diabetes or diabetes, I'd say that's all the same thing. And one way that you could do that is if you went for a blood test, usually they'll take the triglycerides, which is one of the blood lipid markers, and they'll divide that by the HDL cholesterol. So I'm only making up a number right here. So let's just say HDL cholesterol is at here's the calculator right here. I'm going to take advantage of it real quick. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, John Paul, for leaving it here. So let's just say the triglycerides were exactly at 161, and if I divide that by the HDL cholesterol, which is 38, I'm just making that up, it comes back 4.23. Usually, if that number hits anywhere close to 4, that's what you call insulin resistance. I know this is kind of a low-tech way of looking at it, but I'm telling you, your fortunes will turn on a dime. You'll see every system come back online as that number gets lower. And so, do you happen to know what your triglyceride levels are?
Not right now, sir.
Okay, well, that's fine. But what you're doing is you're just concertedly trying to do some form of exercise every single day to give your body a chance to reset or resensitize those insulin receptor sites. And so that's technically free, except for shorts and shirts and tennis shoes that are good for exercising in. So okay. if you can do that, the other thing that I might look at is the use of an herb called gymnema. Gymnema sometimes is so incredibly successful at helping lower insulin levels and improving insulin resistance and sensitivity that it just is, if the medical profession knew about it, they'd probably patent it to a drug and it'd be ultra expensive then. But gymnema would certainly be the sort of thing that you might look into. The other, there's probably two minerals that I find over and over and over again that a person has these types of problems is low in. It's usually magnesium and zinc.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you can do is play with those ideas, but if it's too much cortisol, this is only analogy what I'm about to say. Let's just say, for example, a person has an injury to a leg.
Mm-hmm.
And this injury causes a whole lot of pain, and they suffer, and they go to bed at night going, oh my goodness, my leg is killing me. I wish I hadn't injured it that way. Did you know that the tissues of the body can actually heal, and the injury can be completely resolved? But those pathways that stimulate or generate the pain signals along the nervous system, even though the injury heals, sometimes those pathways don't stop sending pain signals.
Hmm.
Would you buy into that?
Yes.
I read a study this morning, and it just involved mice. And what they said was when they put the smell of a synthetic chemical in the cage of a mouse, and they shocked the mouse with electrical shock at the same time, they showed two generations later, so just because they shocked the grandfather mouse, the young teenager mouse, it was the grandchild, still had a tremendous aversion to that smell, even though they had never been shocked before. So you can't tell me that we don't hand down, you know, traits or tendencies from, you know, the grandparents to the parents to the children. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so what I would do is, you already know where I'm going with this, I would probably look at your mother. Tell me about your mother's health. Is this kind of what you're dealing with, is kind of what she's had to contend with?
I know that she had a difficult life, but I wasn't raised by her, and she already passed away, so I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up. And
oh, no, that's okay. But I did have a pretty traumatic life that it's kind of like it still carries a undercurrent of stress, if you know what I mean.
Well, can I just cut to the chase and tell you what my recommendations are?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what yoga is?
Yes.
I'm not referring to yoga where somebody chooses to use that to become one with the universe in transcendental meditation, but I'd say if you meditate on the Word of God and on Him, you're doing great. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But I think one of the things you can do is, yoga is very, very good. Actually, let me start over. Do you know anybody that has a type A personality and sometimes they're a little bit hard to be around because they're so intense and they're so, you know, drive, 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 do, 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 do. I mean, they just drive you crazy.
Yes.
Well, they don't like yoga because it chills them out too much. It relaxes them. But what you're doing with yoga is you're trying to retrain those neurological pathways to get the body to downregulate its expression of adrenaline or cortisol. And that's what your issue is. You've probably got a little bit of both. You probably have a little bit too much adrenaline. It's probably driving your insulin levels up, creating insulin resistance. And your cortisol is about the same thing. Your body's just breaking down a little bit faster than what it's building up. I had a lady that came to see me yesterday. This is a different lady I'm talking about. And she told me probably about a month ago that she's taking and teaching men that have very severe post-traumatic stress disorder. And she's getting great results just by doing yoga with them. Okay? Just exercises.
Sure.
And so that's one of the ways that you would retrain and reconfigure or recalibrate your nervous system to have less stress.
Okay.
So that would be one thing that you're looking at. But I am a huge fan, if there's a cortisol problem or adrenaline or insulin, I just automatically think there's tremendous room for improvement with healing and repairing the adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the adrenal glands?
Yes, sir. Very much.
And what we want to do is we want to help down-regulate the expression of adrenaline and cortisol. Now, there is a very famous herb that comes from India called ashwagandha. Have you ever heard of that before?
Maybe you said it before in a program.
Or sometimes it's called withania. But that can be very, very good at helping to heal and down-regulate the expression of too much stress hormones.
Okay, so could the adrenals... you spell that for me?
Oh, no. Are you going to make me spell ashwagandha? I'll try. All right. This may be wrong, but I spelled it A-S-W-A. That's not right.
And you can get close, I'm sure.
Okay, there's an H in there. I left an H out. Okay, I think. A-S-H-W-A-G-H-A-N-D-A. Ashwagandha.
Okay, I got you.
I probably butchered it. So, did I ever tell you that I never won a spelling bee growing up? My kids have, but I haven't ever.
Well, you're doing pretty good.
Thank you very much. But ashwagandha is very nourishing, and sometimes if a person has too many stress hormones circulating their body, we have to retrain the body to down-regulate. So magnesium is one of the tools that you use to help down-regulate excessive expression of cortisol and adrenaline.
Okay.
Daily exercise is another one of the ways of doing that. Yoga has been shown to be extremely effective at helping to cure the body of being too stressed all the time. But ashwagandha, oh my word, that might be really, really beneficial to you. So try those things and let me know if you have a good result.
I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day, man. Bye-bye. Okay, if you want to hear the story about chestnut leaf and staph, like MRSA or infections, then we'll talk about that. But if somebody wants to call and ask a question, obviously that's much more important than me talking about staph infections. 903. Sorry. The area code here at the station is 903-586-5257. See there? Everybody wants to hear about staph because nobody's calling. Oh, wait, there's somebody calling. Evidently, this person doesn't want to hear about staph infections. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Try to be very brief. My son keeps developing warts. For years, he had one on his face that we thought was a mole, but it started growing and moving, so we took him to the doctor, and it turns out it was a wart that had to surgically remove. And now he has, like, a wart in between his toes. It's really painful. And he has some on his elbow. I mean, they're just popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Does he need to be on, like, some, like, an antibiotic? We know it's a virus.
Yeah. He doesn't need an antibiotic. Or, I realize... I just popped off and said he doesn't require an antibiotic, but I would be hard-pressed to believe that would actually help fix this. Do you have your radio turned on?
I'm on a speaker. I can turn it on.
Okay, well, I just keep hearing this loud whining pop in my ear. Sorry.
Okay, does that matter?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Two things, and I know I'm just oversimplifying this, but those warts are nothing more than viral infections. But they're viral infections that you don't want your son to have, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me give you two or three ideas. Have you ever heard of cod liver oil before?
Yes.
I always think that cod liver oil has tremendous nutritional components to help the immune system respond to viruses better. Okay. But I'm going to tell you how I use it. Besides your son taking it internally to help bolster his immune function, see, you're only going to have skin as healthy as the nutrients that you can deliver to the skin, but I'm just going to say cod liver oil has a certain blend of nutrients that your skin needs to repel viral infections.
Okay.
The other thing is, those warts growing between his toes, I know what'll take care of those. If you just take cod liver oil and put it on a piece of gauze or maybe even a Band-Aid and you can hold it on overnight or just keep it in contact with the water overnight, if you'll do this night after night, those warts will just fall off.
Oh, okay.
Now, I realize there's a lot of podiatrists listening right now that disagree with this, and they're going to say... No. What we really need to do is we need to do a nitrogen treatment to freeze it off. And if that doesn't work, we'll burn it off with acid. And if that doesn't work, we'll surgically remove it, only to have it come back again later. But then again, how much does cod liver oil cost? It would be dirt cheap to compared to an office visit to a podiatrist, right?
Okay. Oh, definitely.
But I think cod liver oil is probably one of the most effective remedies for dissolving viral infections or warts. I did not say that it works 100% of the time, because there are other factors. I've seen young men before where all I had to do was just bolster the immune system. So some of the immune formulations that I would look at contain thymus extracts and spleen extracts. And if I told you which herbs are probably most effective, olive leaf is just really, really, really effective for helping augment or bolster the immune system when it comes to viral warts. Echinacea is another one. Some people do really well just by topically applying thuja oil or tea tree oil or lavender oil or eucalyptus oil. You know what the guy said earlier? The guy that called, he said he uses Vicks Vapor Rub. Well, they've done observational studies, and they say when people apply, and I realize this may not be super relevant, but if somebody has a chronic toenail fungus, have you ever seen a toenail fungus before?
No, not in person.
Yeah, they're not real attractive to look at, but people can use Vicks Vapor Rub, and if they consistently apply it over and over again, what are the active ingredients in Vicks Vapor Rub? Well, it has camphor. That's real. It has... Oh, what's the other one? I know eucalyptus, but what's the other one that comes from peppermint? Oh, menthol. I can't believe I couldn't think of that. So it has camphor, menthol, and eucalyptus. All those are natural entities that are found in nature, and they do have natural antifungal, antibacterial, and antiviral effects.
Okay.
So there's some people, if they have like a chest cold, their go-to is just taking some Vicks Vapor Rub and rubbing it over their chest. And all of a sudden they start breathing better. It's kind of like the gentleman said earlier this morning. There's nothing quite so miserable as not being able to breathe at night when you're trying to sleep.
That's an understatement.
So if I had a viral infection, I would usually, well, if somebody walked in my front door and said, I've got these warts all over my body, I would, in a non-judgmental, non-critical way, I'd say, all right, what are you eating for breakfast? And they go, well, I don't really eat breakfast. Okay, well, when's your next meal? Well, around 9 o'clock, you know, I'll have a couple of donuts and a Coke and, you know.
Well, he's 18, so he definitely eats that one.
Well, and I'm not trying to be critical. You know, I'm just kind of joking about half this stuff. But with an 18-year-old, if you want him to go away, you got to lay off the sugar. You can't both try to kill him and feed him at the same time, because those type of viral infections that cause warts, are you kidding me? You give them a little bit of sugar and they'll take off like a wildfire. Did he have any trouble that required antibiotics when he was younger? Like ear infections, strep throat?
Oh, ear infections when he was a baby. He actually lost some hearing in one of his ears. The ear infections got out of control.
Well, and one of the things that I would think of, does he like to drink dairy products? Like, does he like to drink milk or eat yogurt or milkshakes, things like that?
He likes milk.
How about ice cream?
Seldom, but he does.
Okay, well, usually if there's a history of ear infections, I'll tell a person just come off dairy for about 3 or 4 weeks and see if these viruses just start to fall off the body.
Okay.
Is that going to be disturbing if the virus just falls off in the Band-Aid? Is that going to be okay?
It's going to be great because it won't be painful.
I'm telling you, those suckers are painful, aren't they?
Yes, he complains about it quite a bit.
Can I tell you just one last story real quick?
Sure.
And I really feel like that what I'm telling you is just spot on, you know, dead on, accurate and precise. I have a, actually, I need to change. No, I'm not going to do that because you'll figure out who it is. Somebody will tell her I talked about her. So let's just say there's a lady that I know that she had what's called a plantar wart, and those are the kind that just can be very irritating and very painful on the bottom of the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went to a podiatrist, and he said, oh, we'll just take some acid and burn that off. Yeah, he burned it off. Guess what happened? It came back 3 months later. Then he said, well, I'm going to show you who's boss. So the next time he used nitrogen and froze it. And you know what? It went away. But it came back to the exact same area. And so he said, oh, man, I am not letting this wart defeat me. So he took a big core or plug out of the bottom of her foot.
Oh.
He said, there's no way it'll come back. And you know how painful that would be to walk around? You can't. You just can't walk around with a big hole in the bottom of your foot. But he just knew that he was just ripping that sucker out by the roots. Guess what happened 6 months later?
Oh, no.
It came right back to the exact location. So sometimes you think you hear these stories of salmon. They've been out in the Pacific Ocean, but they decide to come right back up the creek to where they were born. How do they know to do that? I don't know. Why do geese fly the same exact path or pattern? Or why do ducks fly the same exact route through East Texas when they're migrating? I don't know. God does. Why do hummingbirds, you know, go to the rainforest of South America and then they come back to Texas? I don't know, but they do. So viruses, they have this unique ability to go exactly where they want. Maybe the tissue's weak there. But I would sure rather find a way to strengthen your son and get him over this, but I'd probably take him off dairy.
Okay.
You know what my solution was to the lady that had the chronic wart? Just take a Band-Aid, drench it in cod liver oil, tape it to the wart. If you'll do that every night for about 3 weeks, the sucker will just fall off and never come back.
Okay.
Which way is less expensive and less toxic?
The cod liver oil.
Yes. Yeah, you got it.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope that helps a whole bunch.
It does.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a good day.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. If nobody wants to call and ask a question, I'm going to read about chestnut. Oh, rats. Somebody wants to talk. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're sure welcome. How are you?
Good. My dad is 90, and he is in pretty good health, except he has trouble with his prostate, and they can't do surgery on it because of his heart condition. Is there something he can take to, I mean, he's in a lot of pain.
You mean with his prostate?
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be graphic, but does he have pain when he urinates?
Yes.
Can I give you several ideas? And I'm not trying to say that one idea is better than the other, but here goes. There's a type of bath called a sitz bath where you take really warm water, and probably if it were me, I would add either baking soda to it or maybe a cup of Epsom salt or... Let's go with Epsom salt because that's easy for your dad. I'm sorry. Can your dad, is he physically, does he have enough balance and strength to where he can actually sit in the bathtub all right?
Yeah, he goes to a treadmill in a physical fitness place 3 times a week and runs 30 minutes.
Well, what I want you to do is just write down the term sitz bath, S-I-T-Z, and it'll probably tell you everything you need to know. And let's see if that starts to help drain the prostate where you get some relief.
Oh, S-I-T-Z?
Yeah, it's called a sitz bath. So that's what I would look at. And the other thing, there's no harm by trying these, but I even saw some in the grocery store the other day. They have what are called bee pollen granules.
Bee pollen granules?
Yes. I can't get a 2-year-old to eat these, evidently, but I can get a 90-year-old man to eat them, no problem, because they're it's just the pollen from bees.
Yes.
But sometimes that works so well at reducing the swelling of a prostate. So, I mean, it's a cheap, easy remedy. I'd probably go with 1 teaspoon 2 or 3 times a day.
One teaspoon?
Yeah,
3 times a day?
Does your father have his own teeth?
No. He has 5.
Which 5? No, I'm joking. But if you will, just have him just kind of sort of chew them up and swallow them. They'll still work great, even if he doesn't chew them up. But just take about 1 teaspoon twice a day of the bee pollen granules, just the loose granules, not a capsule, not a tablet, loose granules, and those are easy to come by.
Loose granules, okay.
Yeah, just the loose granules that you get, you buy them in a jar at the grocery store. I mean, I don't know if I can say the term Walmart, but they have them on the shelf there. But you can get them at health food stores, so wherever your father lives, he should be able to procure some bee pollen granules.
Okay, and you say 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah, just twice a day ought to be good.
Once a day?
Twice
a day? Okay.
Yeah, because I'm kind of thinking if I were suffering, I would probably do sitz baths probably 2 or 3 times a day and bee pollen granules a couple times a day to see if we can't get some instantaneous relief for your dad where he goes, you know what? For some reason, I'm better than what I was 3 days ago. And you say, well, Dad, it's because you're doing the bee pollen granules in the sitz bath.
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited to call him and tell him.
The other thing that I would look at, there's a, you know how you and I could go for a walk in the woods and we'd see like a bull nettle?
Yes.
I have done everything within my powers as a father to explain to the children, these plants will mess you up and these plants are safe to eat. And we do that probably at least once a week. We'll go through for a hike in the woods, and the kids just love it. I mean, last time we got some surgical forceps, and we picked up raccoon bones and teeth and skull. That was just great fun.
Oh my!
Well, what are you supposed to do when an 8-year-old wants to collect them and put them in a Ziploc bag? You just go ahead and do it. And if they want to dig, you know, last week it didn't turn out so well because we cut open a shrew that we found in the woods. It didn't turn out well. But anyway, we didn't talk about that. But a bull nettle, sometimes you'll get a capsule of what's called nettle, N-E-T-T-L-E. And that's the same thing as a bull nettle, but nettle leaf. That stuff sometimes is phenomenal for shrinking the prostate. So
really?
Yeah, so you can give your dad nettle tea, or you can give him nettle capsules. The traditional ones are going to be herbs like African pygium. You've got saw palmetto. Sometimes in men, I will use what's called chaste tree to see if I can shrink that prostate.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some ideas right there.
Oh, my. What was the last thing you said, chaste tree?
Chaste, yeah. C-H-A-S-T. Sometimes it's called Vitex angus. Which
is it
C-H? Yeah, C-H. C as in Chad.
Okay.
C-H-A-S-T-E. Chaste.
Okay.
I think that's where they get the word chastity belt from.
Okay. Oh, my. I'm excited now. Thanks
oh, cool.
so much.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Let me know how it works out.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Okay, have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Poor guy, 90 years old, needs some help. Okay, antibiotic-resistant bacteria annually cause at least 2 million illnesses. Yeah, that's 2 million. That's just here in America. 23,000 deaths in the U.S. according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA. That's a bad staph infection, folks. Bad news. It can lead to everything from a mild skin irritation to fatalities. But now, and this just might be interesting to you, I don't know. The leaves of the European chestnut tree have been found to contain ingredients with the power to disarm the dangerous staph bacteria. So it's the use of chestnut leaves and traditional folk remedies inspired the research led by Cassandra Quave. She's an ethnobotanist at Emory University. Anyway, I could probably talk about this till it's like overkill. You know, folks, what if there is something in nature that can actually help turn the fortunes of a person that's very sick and they're not responding to antibiotics? Well, it's just called European chestnut tree leaves. Simple as that. Chestnut leaves. How about that for a simple plan? This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's been a pleasure serving you today, and Lord willing, I'll be back this time on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock this time next week.